Testing.
All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Good morning, everybody. Morning and welcome to the start of today's Board of Public Works meeting. First, I just want to say thank you to everybody for accommodating and allowing us to start a little earlier than our normal standard time. I'll be attending a family funeral of my great uncle, who was a good man. But I want to thank everybody for the accommodation and moving the time around. I also want to I know Treasurer Davis starts to remark as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Over the weekend, well, if you notice, if you look to your right, we normally have three people in the seats. You all know Cherise and Megan, and there was a third seat next to her that we normally have. It was for a young lady on my staff by the name of Nakia Wright. She's normally here every week or every time we have BP death, but over the weekend she passed. She unexpectedly passed. And that was a tremendous loss for all of us. I only knew Nakia for 3 years. The year, you know, when I hired her, when I met her, a friend of mine, former Prince George's County Council member, Nakia was interested in running for his seat, and he told me I should meet with her. And I told him, you know, I had already committed to someone else, but if you think I should, I will. So I talked to her, and I saw why he was supporting her right away. She was very likable, smart, funny. She's the first lady at a church called The Gathering in Forestville, which was my old district. And, you know, working for me is not easy. And, you know, not in the way that most people say, like, I'm not sitting there hounding you or in all of that, not that way, but you remember that kid in school that picked on everybody and always had something to say, and that was me. And so I brought that, and the rest of the staff didn't like to deal with me. So whenever they wanted something, they would make Nakia ask me. Well, you know, they would go through her. And we had such, and I'm gonna wrap this up, though. We had such great conversations about just a lot of things. She was a church lady without being, as she said, church. You know, that she wasn't, I would challenge that. You know, I would test her being. You know, we would talk and just the way she could sort of, I don't know, just sort of settle me down, or we'd have good conversations. Like, we were talking about her son one day, and you know, and I asked his name, and she says, Samaj. So I'm figuring it's like something in the Bible, you know, First Lady, or ancestry, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Samaji. Just, I figured I forgot, you know, mom kept elbowing me and jerking me to wake up. So, you know, I figured I forgot. So one day, I said, I'll just ask. I'm going to make myself look stupid, and I'm going to ask, because, you know, like I said, I'm sure it's somebody really biblical or, you know, a strong ancestral name, and I wanted to know. And so I said, where did that come from? Where did you get the name Samad? And she said, oh, it's just James spelled backwards. and you know, I did it like, you know, wrote it up. And I said, is that it? Dude, that's it. Okay. and we sort of, and so, but I think I'd say that's the kind of fun we used to have, that how we kept it lighthearted. She was just a tremendous staffer. I really enjoyed working with her. Her timing was very, her passing was very unsettling. I appreciate the call the governor and the first lady gave and the comptroller. They called me the next day after her passing. I've been in contact with her husband. You know, the family's doing as well as can be expected. So I will conclude just by saying, for those of you who pray, I ask that you pray for her family and her friends and comfort. And thank you, Governor.
Thank you. And we're so sorry.
Yeah.
She was a, she really was a tremendous and a very sweet soul. She loved working with you. She loved working with this entire thing.
Yeah.
Oh, they all do. No, the job requirement.
Great.
Was,
yeah. She was really special.
Our deepest condolences go to the entire life and to all the extended family. She rests in eternity. I before we get started, I also just wanted to say a few words about the president's illegal tariffs and the work that that I'm proud to stand with this body to be able to have a response to that. Because 2 weeks ago, the United States Supreme Court, in a 6-3 decision, ruled that the Trump Vance administration's tariffs are unconstitutional and illegal. And last week, I was proud to join the comptroller and the treasurer, and we sent a joint letter to President Donald Trump, where we formally demanded reimbursements of tariff revenues imposed by the Trump Vance administration on Maryland consumers, Maryland businesses, and Maryland residents. That because of these illegal tariffs, Maryland businesses and consumers paid an estimated $4 billion in direct and indirect costs. Broken down, that is approximately $1,744 per household that paid for these tariffs that the Supreme Court have deemed illegal. And our people deserve a refund. And so the federal courts established a refund mechanism in the 1990s when the harbor maintenance fee was struck down as unconstitutional. So there is precedent. And we know the restitution at scale is both legally appropriate and administratively feasible. Now, I've long said before the Supreme Court decision that tariffs are an important tool of international trade, but they are a tool that should be used wisely and strategically, not emotionally or as a form of retaliation. President Trump and Vice President Vance have used them as a form of punishment. And the effect of these tariffs have served as essentially a tax on each and every one of us. So this is not just bad policy. This is about the Supreme Court making it clear that these unilateral actions were illegal. And this $4 billion represents real money taken away from Maryland families. And now the Trump administration needs to do what's right and pay Marylanders back. And so I want to give a moment for comments also from the comptroller and the treasurer.
Sure. Thank you, Governor. I'm certainly proud to stand with this body together in pushing back on these illegal tariffs. Now, as comptroller, I have a responsibility to safeguard our state's fiscal interests. And that means standing up when unlawful federal action takes money out of the pockets of our residents and our businesses. And as the governor said, we should be clear, these tariffs, they are taxes. They are taxes paid by Maryland families, businesses, and nonprofits who now have to navigate unpredictable cost spikes that thin margins and threaten livelihoods. Now, this is a manufacturer in Salisbury that suddenly needs to pay more for imported components, or a nonprofit food pantry whose packaging costs tripled overnight, squeezing an already thin margin. These are not theoretical costs. These are real costs that we have all had to pay. And as the governor said, our estimate is $4 billion of costs. To make matters worse, Marylanders could be asked to pay twice. First, we paid for high costs driven by these tariffs, and again, we may pay again through tax dollars used to cover refunds to businesses from the general fund. Marylanders deserve better. Americans deserve better. Marylanders deserve leaders who demand accountability when their constituents are wronged, and that is why the governor, the treasurer, and I, that's why I was proud to stand with you to make that formal demand of President Trump. You know, we all deserve transparency and leadership grounded in respect for the rule of law. And with our demand, we're standing up on the behalf of all Marylanders. So thank you, Governor, for your leadership and the collaboration.
With that, we will get started with the business of the day. Secretary Gonsham, good morning.
Thank you.
Good morning, Governor. Thank you, sir, and good morning to you, Mr. Treasurer and Madam Comptroller. There are 22 items on the Secretary's agenda this morning. I'm happy to assist with answering any questions.
Any questions or comments on the Secretary's agenda?
Not on the Secretary's agenda. Thank you.
Okay. May I have a motion to approve the Secretary's agenda?
Motion to approve the Secretary's agenda.
And is there a second? Outstanding. Thank you so much, Mr. Secretary. We will proceed with the Department of Natural Resources, Ms. Wilson. Good morning. Good to see you.
Governor, Mr. Treasurer, Madam Comptroller, Emily Wilson with the Maryland Department of Natural Resources. Mr. Governor, I'm very sorry for your loss, and Mr. Treasurer, for you and your staff as well, your office. Very sorry to hear that. We do have 9 items on our agenda today for your review. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you so much. Is there any discussion on the DNR agenda?
No.
Okay. May I have a motion to approve the DNR agenda?
Yes. Motion to approve the DNR agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Next up, University System of Maryland. Mr. Hickey, good morning.
Governor, Mr. Treasurer, Madam Comptroller, Tom Hickey, representing University System of Maryland. There are 5 items for your consideration, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any discussion on the USM agenda?
Yes.
Okay, may I have a motion to approve the USM agenda?
Motion to approve the USM agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you so much, dear. Thank you. Proceed with the MDOT agenda. Mr. Donsky, good morning.
Good morning, Governor, Madam Comptroller, Mr. Treasurer. For the record, my name is Valerie Radomski, Chief Procurement Officer for the Maryland Department of Transportation. Today, we are presenting 10 agenda items for your consideration after withdrawing items 5RP and 8M. We are seeking approval of 1 award to a duly certified MBE and small business, totaling $239,000, and 2 awards to certified small businesses, totaling $2.4 million. And we have representatives available to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. Is there any discussion on the MDOT agenda?
Nope.
Okay. Motion to approve the MDOT agenda.
Motion to approve the MDOT agenda.
Great. Is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. Thank you so much, Mr. We will conclude with the DGS agenda. Secretary Charger, good morning.
Morning, sir. Mr. Governor, Madam Comptroller, Ms. Treasurer. For the record, I'm Chief Charger, Secretary of the Maryland Department of General Services. Today, the department is presenting 48 items on our agenda. Our agenda does feature 30 capital grants and loans, totaling more than $27.6 million. I did want to highlight one in particular, and that's item 3 CGL, which provides funding to the Board of Directors for Mercy Medical Center for the renovation and creation of a new 10,864 square foot facility adjacent to its current primary care offices. This expansion will allow for the addition of 7 new primary care providers and increasing Mercy's capacity to serve an estimated 10,500 additional patients annually. As we continue to keep an eye on our minority business participation, our agenda does feature 9 contract actions to certified minority businesses, totaling more than $11.7 million. And we have 9 contract actions to certified small businesses, totaling more than $13.6 million. And we have 80 representatives here to answer any questions you may have.
Wordless, Secretary. Thank you so much. And I understand we have a few speaker requests this morning as well. In the interest of time, we'd ask that the speakers would limit their comments to more than 2 minutes, and Secretary Gonsham would keep service timekeeper on that. First, we have a speaker request for item 2, which is a request to award $50,000 capital grant to the Kiwanis Club of Commodore Mayo for renovations for the club's roof and also its primary bathroom. Good morning.
Good morning.
And first, I'd like to recognize our former Maryland delegate, Carolyn Howard, who's going to join us virtually. And then we're going to have back to you, delegate. It's okay. But we'll start with our former Maryland delegate, Carolyn Howard, in support of this item.
Delegate Howard, you're self-muted. Here we go.
Hello, my name is Carolyn Howard. I will keep my comments short and just thank everyone on the board. And I didn't have any comments prepared in addition to our request, other than just that I'm here for support and here to answer any questions. Thank you very much for your time.
Excellent. Thank you so much. It's good to hear your voice. We'd also like to recognize current delegate Howard as well, this time Seth Howard, who will join us to speak in support of both this item and also item 9. Which requests to award $2.3 million capital grant to Anne Arundel Anne Arundel County for the design and construction of the new community recreation center over in Edgewater. So, Delegate Howard, it's great to have you up here.
Great to be here. Great to see everyone. Former Chair Davis, fantastic to see you, as always. Also, my colleague now at the Comptroller, it's fantastic to see you as well. I'm here to support the $50,000 grant agreement proposal submitted by the Kiwanis Club of Commodore Mayo to acquire, plan, design, construct, repair, and renovate the Kiwanis Club of Mayo, including a roof, a bathroom replacement. These improvements are essential to ensuring the club can continue providing valuable programs and services to the community in a safe and functional place. I also support the $2.25 million grant agreement proposal to plan, design, renovate, repair, and reconstruct a new community center in Edgewater. This project represents a significant investment in the future of our community and will provide residents with expanded opportunities for recreation and community engagement. And it's my understanding that, like, as far as the Kiwanis Club, I think that's like the only one in the state. Like, regionally, there's only about seven of them. You know, I put this in through a legislative bond initiative. And as far as the community center in Edgewater, it would absolutely is a resource that South County needs. And I just appreciate the attention and the agreements. And I would here to be, you know, answer any questions should you have me, sir.
Thank you, Delegate. Any questions for Delegate?
Nope. Nice to see you, Delegate.
Good to see you as well.
Thank you. We have an additional speaker request for item four, which is a request to award $500,000 capital grant to the Maryland Tech Council in support of the purchase of the state of the arts lab equipment for Maryland's headquarters in Montgomery County. This is located at the heart of the 270 Life Sciences Corridor. And this is going to offer just real-world training in biopharma manufacturing, life sciences, military veterans, Marylanders who do not have college degrees, really covering down on a lot of focus areas that we know as a state are going to be important and necessary. Maryland is home to over 2,700 life science companies and 54,000 industry workers. This is one of our most important economic engines, contributing billions of dollars to our state every single year. And so we are proud to have invested roughly $4 million in funding BioHub Maryland, including a $2 million in my proposed budget for fiscal year 27. And we're so thankful to have you here, Secretary Schultz, who serves as the Chief Executive Officer of the Maryland Tech Council, and to sign up in support of this item. So, Madam Secretary, great to have you here, and thanks for your leadership.
It's wonderful to be here, Governor, and hello to my former chair. It's good to see you, Treasurer Davis, and Madam Comptroller. I do extend my condolences to the members who have experienced loss in the last week. For the record, my name is Kelly Schultz, and I am the CEO of the Maryland Tech Council. I am here to support the current $500,000 request that is in the general services budget for the Maryland BioHub Maryland, which is powered by the Maryland Tech Council. The equipment is being purchased for this. I'm going to talk a little bit about how important the equipment is. That is long-lasting. It's scheduled to be around for more than 15 years, but it has been identified to be able to have automatic workstations that can grow, filter, and purify delicate biological material. It enables trainees to learn in a simulated environment how to keep medicine sterile and safe from outside contamination. This provides hands-on experience to workforce trainees. Instead of just reading about it, students actually learn by doing, ensuring that they are job-ready for roles in biopharmaceutical manufacturing. By training workers on this equipment, BioHub helps the industry produce these advanced therapies more reliably and with fewer errors. One thing that separates the Maryland biotech ecosystem from other states is that really we have a special emphasis on CAR-T and cell therapies, which are the bedrock really of our life science community here. And these are the types of cell therapies that our students are learning on to go directly into the market, sometimes with only a high school diploma, where they can get our training and go and earn really good wages within the industry. So I just thank all of you for supporting this. I thank the Department of General Services for working on an initiative that is a little different when purchasing life science equipment. But we've gotten through, and here we are. So, and I'm very appreciative of all of that, sir. So thank you for your support.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. And thanks for your support on this as well. Thank you.
Oh.
I was just stretching my arm.
Thank you all very much. Thank you.
Next, we have a speaker request for item 21, which is a request to award $1.3 million capital grant for the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra for improvements and modernization of symphony spaces. This is one of the best orchestras that you're going to find anywhere inside the United States. And Mark, it's great to see the present CEO of the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra, who joins in support of this item. I apologize, Mark. Mr. Hansen, good morning, and it was wonderful to have you.
Good morning, Adam Comfort, Mr. Governor, Mr. Treasurer, thank you very, very much. On behalf of the Baltimore, for the record, I'm Mark Hansen, President and CEO of the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra. On behalf of the Baltimore Symphony Endowment, our music director, Jonathan Hayward, our 85 world-class musicians, and the 350,000 patrons that attended the Meyerhoff last year, I'm here to express our collective thanks. The Joseph Meyerhoff Symphony Hall is more than the BSO's Baltimore home. We're honored to welcome audiences of all ages and backgrounds for programs featuring not only the orchestra, but the Baltimore Symphony Youth Orchestras and our Orchids musicians, as well as events of all genres and kinds. Thanks to our new Live at the Meyerhoff series, as well as long-standing partners such as the Baltimore Speaker Series. It is a space for civic gatherings, whether one is graduating or attending a community celebration or concert. And thanks to the state, including the Moore Miller administration, leadership, and the legislator, it is an anchor venue in the 40th District, experiencing its first major modernization in 40 years. The capital grants included in today's agenda are one part of a now multi-year public investment in the Meyerhoff, fueling projects that are designated to make our facility a more functional, nimble, and efficient hall for all. In 2023, a state capital grant underwrote a new escalator, ensuring comfortable access for patrons to more than 70% of the Meyerhoff's 2,400 seats, as well as the first phase in a multi-year modernization back-of-house project. The two grants being advanced today have underwritten the second phase in this project, reimagining our green room, which connects the lobby to backstage and the musician lounge. And we're excited to be in the position to reimburse the BSO and our vendors for important work that is already changing the way the BSO does business, serving more community partners and catching the attention of more rental clients. Future capital grants included in the 2026 budget and in the governor's 2027 capital budget will fuel further modernization projects across more spaces, as well as to begin to replace or repair original systems, mechanical, electrical, and plumbing. Such projects are essential to keep the facility functionally open. Just as the hall was built as a public-private partnership with the state matching the extraordinary private support of the late Joseph Meyerhoff, its next era is only possible with great public support. We're honored by your ongoing recognition, the power of the arts, and the cultural, economic, and educational benefits of a more vibrant and functional Meyerhoff Hall. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Hansen, and thanks to the leadership, and thank you to, please share thanks to the entire orchestra for the joy they do truly bring, not just to Baltimore, but to the entire state. So, really appreciate you.
We look forward to welcoming you all back to the Meyerhoff and Strathmore. Thank you.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you. Next we have a speaker request for item 46, which requests to forgive the repayment of $500,000 in grant funding. The capital grant to Howard County for the sale of a property located at 8095 Main Street in Ellicott City. I would like to recognize Brian Schechter, who is a Deputy Chief of Staff to County Executive Calvin Ball, who joins to speak in support of this item. Mr. Schechter, good morning.
Good morning. Governor Moore, Comptroller Learman, Treasurer Davis, my name is Brian Schechter. It's my pleasure to serve as Deputy Chief of Staff to Howard County Executive Calvin Ball. And before you today, I request the Board's approval of Item 46 CGL. This is a request for permission to sell property in historic Ellicott City received grant funds to perform necessary flood-proofing work. This building is one of six remaining in county ownership in this stretch of Main Street that were acquired following the most recent devastating flood in 2018. I'll note that a similar item was approved by this body about a month ago on January 28th. We want to thank you
The state has been an unwavering partner to Howard County and Ellicott City in recent years, through substantial investment in the form of grants and loans, as well as permitting necessary to advance our comprehensive flood mitigation program, the EC Safe and Sound Plan. Together, we have completed 3 of the 5 massive stormwater management ponds, and we are making measurable progress in construction of the monumental Extended North Tunnel project, which remains on schedule for substantial completion fall 2027. The county's goal with this request before you is to reactivate the lower end of Main Street by returning these properties to the private sector. The subject buildings have been vacant since they washed out in 2018, and the county does not have the resources at this time necessary to prepare them for reoccupancy. Our aim is to issue a request for proposals inviting offers to purchase, renovate, and reoccupy these properties, which will bring commercial traffic and investment back to the district and tax revenue back to the state and county. Thank you for your consideration and your continued partnership. I am available if there are any additional questions.
Thank you so much, Mr. Schiff. Any questions?
No.
Right. Thank you so much, and please give the county executive our best to please tell me say hello. Thank you very much. And lastly, I'd like to call item 32, which is a request for the Department of Human Services to award a $115.7 million contract to 8 vendors for one-on-one support services for youth receiving out-of-care services with the state. This contract establishes the first ever statewide standard for one-on-one service providers, and will make sure that we have the safety and well-being of our youth in our care as the top priority, as well as the safety and well-being of others in the placement setting. And I would like to invite Interim Secretary Gloria Brown Burnett to share a few words about this contract. Secretary Burnett, good morning. Has she checked in, or?
I'm not seeing Secretary Burnett online, Governor.
Do we have, is there anybody who's checked in from DHS that we have here?
Please,
project, it's going to help a lot of students. He told us.
All right, Governor. I don't see anyone from DHS.
Is that me? Yeah, I'll see them.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
I had a question first, but also can go to 33. I just have a quick comment on 33, because this is just a sort of interesting on item. I want to take just a quick moment to talk about item 33, because members of the public may not know that. So this is the program for the Federal Worker Emergency Loan Program. This was created in 2019 under Treasurer Davis's leadership after a federal shutdown. Remember way back then, Mr. Treasurer? That was at the time the longest in history. And of course, at that point, shutdowns were rare. So rare, in fact, that the program didn't have to be fully built out because another shutdown didn't happen until last year. And of course, we all remember when the federal government shut down last year, we experienced the new longest shutdown in American history. But because of this program, Maryland was ready. And so I just want to call out the partnership between the Department of Labor and the Comptroller's Office, because together our team and DOL were able to issue more than 2,000 emergency loans to Marylanders who were thrown into crisis overnight. And unfortunately, shutdowns aren't rare anymore. Today is day 19 of a partial shutdown, and around 4,000 DHS employees living here in Maryland are already feeling the impact. So I just wanted to publicly recognize that this program is here, that the Comptroller's Office, in partnership with the Department of Labor, stands ready to help our federal workers, and the governor and the treasurer, I know, are very supportive and, celebrate this program as well. And we're sorry that it is needed, but we're glad that it can be there for people.
Thank you so much. are there any other comments on the DGS agenda? Okay, so Mr. Secretary, what I'd like to do,
Governor, we'd like to actually withdraw item 32 for now, and then we can bring it back.
Right? You just
Sound good?
Yeah. Okay, sounds good. So, with the exception of the hold on the 32, may I have a motion to approve the DGS agenda?
Motion to approve the DGS agenda.
And is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. Thank you so much, Mr. Secretary.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary.
This concludes today's meeting of the Board of Public Works. Next one will be March 18th. We are adjourned, and thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Off the record at 9:38.